What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything, from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the absolutely glorious and wonderful and beautifully voiced Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, aren't you sweet? Hi, Ben.
Well, it's all true. It is all true. All you have to do is go on to our Instagram and watch you singing, I'm just Tom.
Oh, God.
So good. In my head all weekend.
Oh, well, Lordy.
So good.
Oh,
you're so
man.
Good.
I sure love you.
You're so funny.
Thank y'all.
So that was from The Crappies. You can, if you want to watch The Crappies, it's still available via Moment, the replay for, I think, through Saturday night. I think it just goes down at like midnight on Sunday. So go check that out. It was super fun. It was probably our best Crappies we've had yet. We had a great, great time. And it was also our fanciest streaming. So go check that out. Also, in May, we're doing Netflix as a Joke at the Kookaburra Lounge. That's going to be early May. I think May 3rd is that night in Hollywood. So that's going to be awesome. So cool to be part of Netflix as a Joke. And then later in May, we are going to be doing London and then Dublin and then Birmingham. And those are in Europe. And we've been wanting to do a European show for years, and now we're finally doing it. So it's super exciting. Can't wait. All the tickets for all that stuff is at watchwhatcrappens.com. Same for the streaming, watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, don't forget our Patreon where you can watch us, not just listen to us. I'm wearing a stunning hoodie today. It's really beautiful. So come join us and watch at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. So that's all the fun stuff. That's all the great fun stuff. And so today we have decided to go back to Potomac because it's been a few weeks. We've always loved Potomac. It's one of the very best franchises on Bravo. It's had a struggle of a season, to put it lightly. It's been terrible, let's be honest. So we kind of put it on the back burner and we've been focusing on other shows, but it's like, you know what? We should throw some love because, you know what? There's still so much about this show that we love, so we decided to recap it today. What a mistake! Oh my goodness.
Well, when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, that Ben must have seen like a preview that's like a really good week or something. Because, you know, sometimes shows, it takes the first half of the season for them to, I don't know, you know, we've been watching Bravo for years, and usually if there's a bad season, it'll start bad, and it can get good, you know?
Yeah.
Or it'll start really good, and then it can get really bad, you know, so you never really know. I thought, oh my God, maybe they really amp it up. And they added Kiarna in there, and I know that I think that she's one of the ones who gets in a fight in the season finale.
Are they gonna actually televise that big fight that was all over social media?
I don't know, but I think they said it was the new girl, so I guess that would be her. I guess Neko's new as well, but I don't know if it's her or not, but I thought, okay, maybe it's going to get spicier this week with the new girl being here, whatever. So I was like, oh my God, something's going to happen on Potomac. So I sat down. I was so excited. I was like sitting there with my little note taker thing, and I was like ready to do it. And when we got to like the fifth scene about talking about how they like getting up their blowholes, I was like, you know,
do we really need to talk
about Karen's asshole again? Like, how many episodes are we going to talk about liking like loving anal. I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
This was...
So, sorry. Sorry it's going to be an episode filled with complaining, but they started it.
They started it. And you know what? I am going to yuck on this yum because they're yucking on my yum with this. This is ridiculous. I feel like really like almost everyone working behind the scenes on this show should be fired at this point. This has gone so far wrong. Bring a new production company in here. This is a disaster what's happened on this show. This is too good of a cast to be like flailing like this. It was awful. I thought, honestly, the last episode when they embarked on the vacation, I was chuckling. And I was like, you know what? Maybe the show, maybe they just need to get on vacation a little bit. I'll be with each other. Nope. This was, they spent 9 minutes of airtime with a commercial break in it doing that game later in the episode. That's 9 minutes of airtime. You don't, that's a long amount of airtime. That's how little they have to go on. Maybe there's more that they have to go on, but maybe production has just decided that this is what we want to see. It is a disaster.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so let's put that aside and get her going. Yeah. So here we are. We're on the trip to the DR, which is actually where this show needs to go. So I hope there is one. There is a doctor that can fix this show. So we go there and Giselle has decided to give NECA the new crown for Grand Dame of Potomac because Karen shaded her zip code or whatever. And Candace has decided that now is the time to make a stand. And she's like, I will not participate in such a horrible game. So she goes to her room and, you know, granted, it's not... She's basically speaking for the audience. Yes. So she leaves and they're like, oh my God, where'd Candace go?
And NECA's like, I just want to thank everyone here for acknowledging my zip code. As you know, I purchased my home and spent a lot of money, unlike some others here. And I just want to thank you all for seeing and believing in me. And then she tells us, this title is definitely above my years and beyond my years. Grand Dame is someone who is more elderly, but I think Giselle comes from a place of concern, so I feel like I'm here to do the people's work. And, you know, as Jesus said, I'm here to serve, and I am here. Jesus said to serve, and I'm here to serve.
So Karen's like, well, it's lonely at the top. That's what I'd like to say to this group. And I'm glad that you are the Grand Dame of 20854. Okay. And
she's like, because regular Grand Dame is taken. Regular Grand Dame is taken, but you can be Grand Dame of 20854.
So Karen's like, well, it's not shade against you, but it's shade against Giselle. All right, because... Now with a 20854 Grand Dame. And she goes, but she does live in Potomac. So I don't know what you think you're, I don't know why you're highlighting the zip code. She lives in Potomac. And she goes, but Giselle, you don't. You live in Bethesda, Giselle. All right.
How can you crown someone if you're in Bethesda? How can you crown, if you live in Bethesda, how can you crown someone in Potomac? It just doesn't seem to even make sense. Like she's acting like it's like the rules for running for president. Like you weren't born in America. You are ineligible to be president of the United States.
Your fake title needs to be from a real place.
I know.
So Giselle's like, the best is when Karen acts like she's not mad, but she can't help but being mad. Her lips are piercing. I don't think she meant that.
Pursing, but. Probably, but I get it.
But it's still funny because it is Karen. And her lips do purse to the point of being piercing.
Yes.
Very like... It's like little girls lining up to get their free Claire's piercing just from Karen's annoyed lips.
Yes.
Yeah.
That nose gets extra extra twitchy looking, and the wig starts to squeeze down on her head. So Karen is... She is right. I mean, Karen is... furious, but she's trying to be like the bigger woman. So she's like, you know what? God is good. Are we ready? Let's go. Let's go. And so she locks arms with NECA and she's like, Giselle has no power to crown shit. You know, wearing Party City crowns out in public. This is no crowning. This is a clowning. Ha! And then she pulls out a clown mask out of nowhere and she's like, this looks like Giselle, doesn't it? Huh?
Karen loves a prop.
Yeah.
I like that Karen's just so dedicated to her prop humor.
Yeah.
So then she's like, walk behind me, peasant, and kiss my ring. NECA is a good sport. Moving to the outskirts of Potomac. Bless her heart.
Emphasis on outskirts. Outskirts is barely in it. Barely in the 20854.
So now they have a wacky segment of driving around in golf carts to go to the restaurant. Oh, no, not to the restaurant. First, they actually go to play golf. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime golf where they've got big lit things in the middle that you have to hit. And then if you hit them, then they turn colors or something. I don't know.
I was shocked that the producers refrained from turning this into a 10-minute segment where they put goofy graphics on the screen and tried to make it look like an old sitcom or something like that. I was like, God, given what this season has been, like, this feels like this is like a producer's wet dream. Wait, they're doing a totally average activity? We can zhuzh this up with a bunch of silly music and fonts on screen.
Well, they do that have later. A little discussion about Giselle's fake relationship for the season, because she's always got one. And this year, it's still with Jason, who is like quite clearly not into Giselle, and she's quite clearly not really into him either. I'm not really sure why they're choosing to fake this relationship. I don't think anyone's buying it. She's said on Watch What Happens, and she said on this show, that it's open. They can do whatever they want, which is good, because there are pictures that this little blonde girl is posting all over the place saying that she's Jason's real girlfriend.
Wow.
And that his relationship is fake. And she's been with him for a long time now, like a year. And so Giselle, sorry, but your fake relationship is exposed. Well, I'm sorry to you, you little blonde twit. But he's faking it to you, too. He was hitting on my friend at BravoCon pretty heavily.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Jason's just going to go for it.
He's a model. You know? He's a model. Never forget. He's a model.
Yeah, he's a model with 5 minutes of fame under his belt. And he's going to get as laid as he can be.
And Winterhouse is now, quote unquote, on pause. So, yeah, the timer, we're at 14:45 right now. So he's going to go for it. Giselle is, she's just talking about the parameters that they have on their relationship. And so then Karen pulls Candace to the side, and she's like, no, I don't like it when women talk in a group and everyone goes into hyena mode, you know, especially if you live on the outskirts of Potomac. Anyway, I noticed you walked away when we were playing that crowning people game today with the person who was crowned illegally by someone who did not follow the bylaws of a fake crowning.
And Candace is like, yeah, because it's dumb. And she's like, well, you know, Giselle, she has nothing. That's why she has to take jabs. Poor, poor Giselle.
True.
You know, unfortunately, jabs don't keep up an extremely old roof on a very cheap house in Bethesda, unfortunately.
You know,
so it'll probably fall on her head soon.
Someone, one of these days, will have to tell Giselle that jabs just aren't effective when they're launched from Bethesda, but we let her think they are. We do.
It doesn't bother me because titles are there for people who need titles. I don't need a title. Titles don't make you fences. You are born a fence. I am a fence.
Now, it doesn't bother me. Titles are there for people that need them, and I never needed one. I just happen to have one that I defend ferociously. And honestly, you know, titles don't make you.
And Candace is like, yeah, well, here's the title, Raggedy Petty Bitch. And Karen's like, oh, hold on. Here's the segment where the fence starts to make sound effects. Hold on. Oop, nope, woof, woof, what, woof.
It's an audio.
Do you have the Shannon Bedore sound effects keychain that you're pressing buttons on? Oop, woof, woof, woof.
Do I like the offense?
No.
No.
David Pence. So now more golfing, and the new girl is like, I was prepared to be fabulous, but then I got sick. And I was hoping that Wendy or Candace or someone would like come check on me, but then they didn't check on me. I was like, oh, God, that's your storyline.
We're not doing a diarrhea wellness check storyline. We're not doing this.
Didn't come check on your diarrhea. Wow.
No, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. By the way, also, I think we've all had friends who've had diarrhea. It happens. And I don't think that there's any obligation to go above and beyond to be like, are you okay? Is your diarrhea okay? I mean, you can be like, are you okay? But I think a lot of people, when they're going through it.
How's your butt leaking? Yeah, you know what you really don't want? I think they're your real friend because they're not showing up at your door while you're doing whatever you're doing in there with camera crews knocking and trying to come in to catch you in the act of, because you know this is Bravo. Real Housewives of Orange County, speaking of, did just give a woman an enema on camera. So that was their fun and games. So don't think it can't happen to you. Be grateful. Be grateful for Wendy and Candace.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really anticipate Giselle, or I should say, like, I take it back. This could have been like a big break moment for Candace. Candace could have gone into Kiana's room and gotten herself an endorsement. If she just went in there and was like, nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
So this is what she's going to pin her hopes on for a storyline, is being mad at these two. So let's see how that turns out for her. Yeah. So now they go to dinner. God, speaking of Real Housewives of Orange County, again, they go to dinner at a place called La Casita. So what do you think about that? It's where Gina lives. So they go over there, and Giselle is like, well, everybody, Karen, I wanted to thank you for the advice you gave me the other night, because Grace has graduated.
The Grace graduating storyline continues. So she's just going
on.
We
have not graduated from the storyline. We've not graduated from having to hear about the storyline. We will hear about it now for two more weeks, at least.
Weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So she's just going on about how she took Karen's advice, because Karen said, don't make it about you Bethesda slut. And Giselle was like, I didn't make it about me. I just let Grace have her moment, blah, blah, blah. She's going on talking about Grace. And they just keep on cutting to Candace and Wendy just looking bored, like the rest of us are, and looking back and forth at each other, sort of snickering. And I was like, I feel like the producers are trying to get me to be like, wow, look at them. But I'm like, I don't really care that they're rolling their eyes and bored right now.
Yeah, it's boring. You know, I was giving the same look. I was like, am I in trouble? What I do?
I FaceTimed Ronnie. I went like this to him. I went, ugh, and then I hung up.
We just sent pictures to each other going like, ugh. So then Mia's like, well, I know you're excited about Grace going to college, but do you have concern about her going to school in Florida? And Giselle's like, well, I mean, yeah, it's another country, the way the government is acting a fool. And then there's a big, long pause and dramatic music and then silence and like a boom. And yes. I was like, what? What in the world is
Same.
Going on?
I wrote down music as tense for some reason. I was like, why is there tension?
Yeah, it started getting, which we find out later, you know, obviously there was a reason. But I was like, why are they really trying this hard to make drama? They're like, Florida. We've said the state Florida. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. And just like Candace and Wendy shooting each other more looks. I was like, why is this music tense right now? That she's just talking about her daughter. It's actually, you know, at least she's talking about something real that's happening in her life. And so then we hear Robin. She tells us, oh, Candace and Wendy are making faces and rolling eyes. And like, I get it. You don't like Giselle, but we're talking about her daughter. I was like, oh, okay. So Robin's going to push some bullshit with these two now. Be like, why are you guys rolling your eyes during we're talking about the daughter? And that is exactly what happens for the rest of the episode. I'm like, really?
Yeah. So Wendy's like, okay, well, I will say this. I just think from my lens, it's not the best state right now. Florida, where black women and men are being killed without cause and they're justifying it with Stand My Ground. I wouldn't send my boys there. And Giselle, which, I mean, you know, is that a terrible point? Not really, but are you also going to tell her kids she can't go to college? I don't know. It seemed like an odd, listen, I wouldn't.
You'd be like, well, good say luck. That.
I wouldn't. But also, it's coming from a person from a disaster state myself. I mean, I am currently in Texas. This conversation, look, here's how I respond to my friends when they're like that. I say, yes, it is kind of embarrassing to be in Texas when they're passing all these draconian laws, and it is disgusting, but they're allowed to do that because Texas is a part of America, which you're also a part of. And the reason that they're able to do that is because we've let America go so fucking far that these people, that the Supreme Court has overturned shit, that this shit is allowed to happen. So let's like look around at each other. Okay. Oh, here, yeah. This is an us problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But if everyone vote. So Giselle is, I know what you're trying to say though, Ronnie, which is kind of like, you know, this is, I understand your concerns, but maybe it's too late now. So what do you want me to do about it? Like, let me just be happy for my daughter.
I mean, like it does, I'm not trying to minimize what's going on, just that sometimes to make changes, you have to actually be in the place that needs the change made. If that makes any sense. Like, I'm here. Yes, some of these people are a nightmare to me, but trust me, I'm a much bigger nightmare to them.
I'm a blue person
that voted to a red state. So have fun with me, fuckers.
That's right. That's right. That's how it, you know. So Giselle is like, Giselle's basically like, I think my baby girl will be okay. This was the scene for me to evoke sympathy, not for you to evoke sympathy. So Karen's saying that she's proud of Grace, but that's scary. And Giselle's saying that it was important for Grace to go to an HBCU. And then Giselle's like, and by the way, Wendy, while you're trying to make me feel bad that my daughter's going to Florida, she has encountered plenty of racism in Maryland too. So think about that. So anyway, it's actually a pretty interesting conversation. It's just, you know, I just didn't understand why Bravo was playing such tense music and trying to make it into a drama situation. I'm like,
well, it's weird because it's Housewives. So it's like a real conversation that's going on in the country, you know, and obviously with black people, it's much more serious than two white guys sitting here like opining on it. So I'm going to do everyone a favor and not do that. But it's just Housewives. So it's like, it's a real conversation, but it's brought up in this, you know, like bitchy Housewives way, mm-hmm. which is like, well, I wouldn't send my child there. And it's like, wait, why are we fighting yes. about this like this? Like, this is a real serious thing.
Right. And the music's like, dun, 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 dun. So Karen's like, yeah. Well, Nika, what you'll find out is that everyone wants to see us win within this group. And so I'm glad it's happening. Some of us have won better things, like being able to actually live in Potomac and not Bethesda. But anyway, we have a lot to be thankful for. And in that same vein, I think that we should be able to call out when we fall short of living in Potomac.
And Giselle's like, yes, but in the same vein, we should be able to call each other out when we fall short, like at NECA's house when you told Mia that she was screwing a rapper and messing around.
And we're back.
Yes. And Mia's like, she did say that out of a hat. I mean, sorry, did I just rap? I want to frap. I can't stop. Karen's a flop. Oh, God.
Oh, Mia's freestyle. Wow.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat or be eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
From Wondery, this is Black History for Real. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm Conscious Lee.
What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that. Because on this show, you're going to hear a little less
"In August 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue."
And a little bit more,
"She is a heroine to some as a fighter for black rights. She is a villain to others."
Follow Black History for Real on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on February 5th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting January 29th. Join Wondery Plus on the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
So Giselle's like, it's like, you know, in years past, if I had said that, you would be going on a rampage if Giselle is trying to destroy families. I mean, it's like, yeah, the difference is that I didn't do this. So Karen says, well, you all have come after my marriage time and time again, and I'm done turning the other fence because you guys are so fucking disrespectful at times to my marriage and to me, and Mia and I brought you into this group, Mia. I was a big sister fence bringing a little fence, and this is the way you treat me.
Giselle's so gross for this, by the way. I mean, I know that it's an argument we've heard 9 million times and they're just trying to do whatever they can at this point. But Giselle, they were coming at you for trying to ruin marriages because you were basically you were using sexual assault language to accuse someone's husband of trying to do something to you in a hotel room, which was crazy. That's not really the same thing as making a comment like, I heard you were cheating on your husband, especially since you guys made the past how many seasons about Karen fucking around on her husband, right, and acting like, oh, now that Karen does it, it's like the worst thing you've ever... Please, Giselle, yeah, please. So, go find your Jason.
So Mia's like, well, so why are you being disrespectful to my marriage, Karen, if you don't want me to be disrespectful to yours? She's like, well, I wasn't being disrespectful. Well, you said I was screwing a rapper. Yes, but I brought it in front of you. I brought it to you, to your face. That's what I heard about you. Mind you, you always talk behind my back.
And then we see a clip of Mia saying everything she had to say right to Karen's face. And the Chiron says, Mia talking to Karen's face. But also, Mia can't act that offended either because Mia's basically copying to fucking the rapper and kind of bragging about it at the same time. So
this is Mia's favorite thing. She's like, to have her shit be aired out at this dinner table. And it's like, did you sleep with a rapper? What? Me? She loves this.
Yeah. So Mia's like, well, you know, whatever, Karen, you're still trying to ruin my marriage. And Karen's like, well, am I not human? Do I not bleed? And she's like, well, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I know that you're human, and that's why I haven't shared the whole truth about your story.
Well, you don't know my true story, and I don't know yours.
And she's like, well, you want to try it? She goes,
Mia, don't threaten me. Let me keep trying it. I have nothing to hide. Well, I'll have your back, so I'll keep it to myself. Fine. I have nothing to hide. So therefore, let's move on to a different topic.
And Giselle's like, oh, if Karen wants to move on, you know there's some truth to what's being said.
Yeah. So
I think at this point, we kind of all know that Karen's fucking around, right? But Ray probably lets her. I mean, the first season started, wasn't it the first season or was it season two when Karen started her eye candy, right? Ray right. Doesn't mind if I have a little eye candy.
Yeah. That was definitely like season one or two. And it's even still continuing. This, I mean, we hear about the personal trainer and everything. So, Ashley says,
well, something tells me that Mia knows some things. And the reality is that there's still like a lot that has been said and is like still being said in the streets.
Oh, Ashley, the streets have been talking forever, but unfortunately you can't understand what they're saying because they've got your husband's dick shoved down their throats. Okay, stop with the streets are talking. Talking about your husband, Ashley. So then Wendy's like, this girl's a liar. Who cares what she says?
I'm literally basically fucking a pothole as we speak. My dick is literally in the streets.
You never know when the construction worker is going to happen to pass on by there. So Kiana's like,
well, on another note, Giselle, thank you so much for coming to check up on me because I was very sick and none of my friends checked up on me.
Really? Now's the time you're going to bring up your diarrhea fight?
Oh, really? And Candace goes, well, I'm sorry you felt abandoned on this cash trip that you're not even a part of that we invited you of. I never would have abandoned you. And then Wendy goes, I got you ginger ale. She goes, you did. And I'm feeling much better. Thank you. I'm like, wait, she got you ginger ale. You're nullified. This is a null and void argument.
So you're a perfect cast member. You're going to try and start a fight for someone not supporting you when they literally supported you.
Yep.
Okay, I can't. Okay. So then they go home. Okay, so now, you know, they tried. We have to give the cast credit. They were trying. Didn't work, but they were trying. So then they get home. And you think, oh my God, something's about to happen because they're playing that music like, now it's time for late night shenanigans on Real Housewives of Potomac Vacation where things get messy. So they walk in and Giselle's like, that table's messy. Who's going to clean that? Okay, good night. And then like, we see them washing their faces
for 5 minutes.
And we're like, okay.
5 minutes.
Yeah, we're like, maybe they're just going to wash their faces and now Robin's going to go get messy because it's late night.
Right. Oh, wait, Candace, no, they put wash on her bonnet face
for 10 minutes.
Candace put on her bonnet. Now she's going to read someone for filth. No, she's actually not. Oh, there's someone taking off their makeup. Kierna, looks like going back to that bathroom. Oh, she's going to be so mad when she comes out. Nope. Just 5 minutes of watching people settle in for the night.
Okay, so the next morning, normal morning things. Candace calls Chris. Mia and Giselle start gossiping about Karen last night with NECA. And Giselle saying, well, she doesn't like you coming for her because she supposedly brought you around. And Mia's like, oh, so now I have to be your slave just because she brought me around? So Mia's like, I'm going to try being upset now because it's breakfast. Let's try this again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, credit for making an effort.
Right. So, I mean, I do actually give credit for making an effort. I really do feel like one of the biggest issues has been production more than the cast. But the cast has issues. The cast has fundamental issues because half of them don't talk to each other. So Karen and Giselle are eating at breakfast. And Karen's like, you know, I'm still celebrating the triple 20. And then Mia comes in and says, Queen Karen, I'm here to serve you, my master, since you brought me to this group and I have to serve you. Is there anything I have to bring you? Let me bow down in front of you.
Yeah. And so Karen's like, oh, God, like, whatever. We already talked about this. I'm exhausted. And so Mia's like, well, I'm in a great place, too, Karen. So that one's over. You know, Karen's like, no, I'm not doing this. So Giselle is like, well, after last night, I'm not going to talk to Candace or Wendy because they made faces while I talked about Grace's graduation.
So Robin clearly said something to Giselle. She was clearly like, did you see the way they were making faces while you were telling your story? Because Giselle did not see those. Giselle was so wrapped up in her own story that she did not see Candace and Wendy. She would have said something. Giselle would have made a remark. She said nothing. It is Robin who definitely told Giselle, and now Robin has gotten Giselle worked up.
So now they have a big game day. And there's buzzers on the table. I just wrote, oh no.
Yeah,
me so too. Robin is in charge, so it's, we're gonna have freaky deaky questions about sex
again. So the game is called Answer the Damn Question, which is a game that I would love to see Juan play. But this is the sex edition. And the game started at 22 minutes into the episode, or I should say 22 minutes of the airtime. And it just goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes.
Yeah, so I'm going to fast forward through this.
Please.
Because literally nothing happened. This is just Robin coming up with the game, trying to convince everybody that Juan fucks her, which nobody is buying.
Do you like it hard and fast or slow and sensual? If you don't think it's bull, and then the thing comes up on screen that says bull, and there's this, and there's that, and goofy graphics, and lots of laughter, and silly music, and wow, we're talking about sex. God, we're having such a fun time. This is a great time, isn't it, hanging out with the Potomac ladies?
Yeah, so Candace asks a question. She's like, Robin, what is the fetish your partner has asked you to do? And she's like, pretending he goes to hotels to help homeless people who've lost their credit card. But actually, Juan would really like to watch me with somebody else. And I mean, that answer is
says a lot. And then they ask Mia about...
From FaceTime, where he doesn't actually have to be there. Just please, go with somebody else, please. I think he doesn't... I don't think he means fucking somebody else. I think he means driving away with.
Yeah, because I don't think Juan wants to watch Robin any longer than he has to. So just go in that room. I'll be out here watching TV. So they asked Mia about the rapper. Like, sorry, what's the name of the rapper you had sex with and when? And Mia's like, I'm gonna tell you shit. And Wendy's like, oh, so you had sex with a rapper while you were married to Gordon. Gordon gave you permission. She goes, I wasn't married. They were dating.
Yeah, weird. And so she's like, well, they're saying, well, I thought you were dishonest. So why aren't you dishonest about it? Because obviously she's kind of half bragging that she's fucking a rapper, you know, which is so Mia.
Right.
It's like she wants to keep it secret, but she also can't stop herself from bragging that she's fucking a rapper. So Candace is like, why are you so coy? And she says,
well, because it incriminates somebody else who doesn't want to be affiliated.
Listen, any rapper that's fucking a Real Housewife wants to be affiliated.
Yeah.
Okay, just
let's be honest.
Say it or don't.
So then someone asks Karen, how many sexual partners have you had? So she goes, So now she's starting to count, and then she realizes it looks really bad that you're thinking about counting. So then she has to pivot, and she goes, is it wet dreams too? I've had about 40 wet dreams, if that counts. And then like Wendy's like, Cowan, you're not a boy. You can't have wet dreams. You don't know me, Wendy. I have had many wet dreams. Many, many.
You might need some Depends because I think you're
making pee-pee on yourself.
She's like, oh, I get aroused several times per day. I have many wet dreams per day.
you're just peeing, actually.
So then the producer asked NECA to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, and she's like, well, I would fuck one, and I would kill, well, I'm not a sinner, I guess I wouldn't kill anybody, but if I had to save a hoe, I would save Eddie, I guess, and give him his freedom. Did that make any sense? She is kind of cracky, NECA.
I have to
give Wendy credit on that one. She does get a little bit like, oh, wow, I don't know, who would I kill? You know what? Okay, I'm going to save a hoe. What's that? Fuck, marry, or kill. Concentrate on the game.
It's easy. Anyway, this went on for an eternity. Like, this, it's hard to really underline how long this segment went on. Like, this was, like, I was embarrassed for the production company. I was embarrassed for everyone involved. I was embarrassed for Bravo. Like, come on. This is not what we come to watch. This is too long. Do it for, like, a minute. But, like, this was ridiculous. I'm sorry. So finally,
so they had to go on and on about how it's impossible to have wet dreams. Okay, so then later, now they go to the house to change for the beach, and Ashley calls the nanny, and then they go to the beach, and someone's talking about how their vagina is hairless, which is great.
Yeah.
And so then someone starts talking about their coochie sweat, and that's fun. And then they go to lunch. So Robin's like, okay, well, I hope everyone's enjoying yourselves on this trip. I mean, if it's not the low-key moment you wanted, then just go home. I don't care. Okay, you're doing a great job hosting.
Yeah. So they're just like at this restaurant, and NECA's like, so, you know, this is a great sisterhood moment. You know, you had us playing games, and we had secrets, and we're sharing life experiences. And Ashley's like, well, you guys, you guys asked me a lot of questions about my sex life, and my answers were, like, truthful as hell. But I feel like I can't talk about those things without telling you what's, like, really happening in my life. So I'm still legally married, and I don't think it's fair that, you know, I tell you what's happening extracurricularly, you know, but without saying what's in my marriage.
It's like, okay, Ashley. Tell us. No one's asking you. Tell us what's going on. You want to get a Michael Dockery
story. We
already
all know this, too. She's like, let me tell you about this deep thing. You're not telling anybody shit. You just want to announce that you have a song coming out. So just do it. For fuck's sake. So then Mia is like, well, I mean, if you're still receiving help from Michael, I can see why you stay. And so Wendy's like, well, do you receive help from Gordon? Is that why you stay with Gordon? And she's like, Gordon is broke as hell. You all know that. I mean, when I met him, he was even broke as hell. So now, did I have more money than Gordon when we met? Sure I did.
But mine was an inheritance. Everyone's like, inheritance? Mia's like nodding, like, from a rapper. You know, people are going to think what they want regardless, because I'm like young and beautiful and he's like an older guy. So we let people think what they want to think. That's all. I'm just going to happen to bring up for the first time in 4 years that I had an inheritance, even though my entire story.
But didn't you say that her whole story bought you for $10,000 a night? And she's like, that's chump change.
Like, okay.
What?
There's a difference between cash and assets. And, you know, at that time, did I have more cash in the bank than he did? Absolutely. Even though.
Yeah, because he had been giving you $30,000 a week.
Yeah. Mia, whose whole storyline is that she was broke and she was like raised in this tough childhood and in poverty. And now all of a sudden she received an inheritance from someone somewhere and was actually secretly the wealthier one in the duo. Okay, sure. Yeah.
She's just such a weird liar. It's not even a fun lie. Like, where does he even? I mean, rooted in some truth. You know what I mean? Give us a fun lie.
So then, because
just making shit up.
And then there, because of the $10,000 thing, when they're like, "But you said you met him in the high roller thing," and she goes, "Well, high rollers don't always have money." They're like, it's in the definition.
Literally do. They're literally giving you $10,000 in cash. So
Candace is like, "I don't know it all. Perhaps I'm just ignorant, and I've been opened up to a new world of stripper heiresses. But my mind is boggled."
That shit was funny when she said that. Okay, so then we go back to Ashley trying to get her point out, because this somehow her announcing her new song gave way to Mia claiming to be an heiress. So then Ashley turns it back to herself and she's like, well, guys, Michael doesn't give me money, okay? But if he, I knew that it makes me feel secure knowing that if I needed money for my children, he would give me money. Ashley, he bought you a house. He's giving you money. You're not divorcing him because he's giving you money. Why are you fake lying? Everybody knows. I mean, my God, just don't be ashamed. You married Michael, for fuck's sake. Like, you gave shame up a long time ago. Just stop lying.
Candace is like, so have you started with your life coach? And she goes, she's actually a confidence coach. I decided to shoot even lower. And she's helping me reclaim myself. And she's encouraged me to have a goal. Which, like, that's good to have a goal in life. That's good. She's like, so one of my goals, I told her, was that I want to get back into singing. And like, I was like a theater kid. And so like, she encouraged me by my birthday to have like a song written. So guess what, guys? I have like a song. So...
Shocker. So Candace hands her a knife. She's like, I will not throw this knife at you today. I'm handing it to you as a microphone, as support. So go ahead and sing. So Ashley stands up and she's like,
okay, I'm going to sing my song. I'm thriving. I'm not just surviving because I'm healing and I'm thriving. Healing and I'm thriving.
Oh, for fuck's sake, go hug a fucking tree. And while we're at it, no one who's on TikTok as much as you needs a fucking confidence coach. Okay. Yeah. Less confidence. I suggest less confidence, please.
She, so that her big song, first of all, she just steals the melody to rhythm as a dancer. And then she has one lyric, which is healing and I'm thriving. No, not just surviving. So she goes, healing and I'm thriving. No, not just surviving. Healing and I'm thriving now. Yes, I'm healing and thriving. No, not just surviving. I'm like, rhythm is a dancer. It's a dancer. Like, okay,
that's funny.
Great work.
Yeah. So they applaud for her. And the new girl's like, yes, Ashley, for reclaiming her time.
I would like my time reclaimed, by the way, from this show. So then NECA is like, well, you know what, Ashley, you've been doing everything you sang about. You've been healing and thriving this whole time and just like poisoning relationships I have with Wendy. And Giselle's like, I've been there. Ah, a couple of us have been there. Ah, getting divorced is scary. You are raising your kids by yourself. Ah, you're changing your carburetor by yourself. Ah, you are shuttling your kids off to a restaurant called Arizona's. Ah, by yourself. Ah, it's hard. Ah.
So then they start, they basically are all talking about like, oh my God, you're such a brave girl. So Wendy's like, let's talk about Karen's triple 20. And Karen's like, oh, well, thankfully I'm about to be 60 and fucking my trainer. And they're like, what? She's like, squirting all over my, what dreams about my, I just don't know. And they're, Karen.
Is he a rapper?
What are you talking about? And she's like, well, I like his shape and now we can move on. Like, okay. So I think this is the Wendy, like, I'm not dating a rapper just because I'm a flapper. And when I get in a car, I put on my strapper.
And I love watching CNN, specifically Jake Tapper.
Okay, so now they're going to go to a cabana on the beach. And guess what? We can play games there.
So they go to the beach. And Robin's like, did you guys? Okay, here's a fun fact, everyone. Did you know that in the recent Sports Illustrated swimsuit shoot was shot right here? So I think we should all have our own photo shoot. And Mia's like, yeah, I'm a photographer because I slept with one of those. Oops, didn't mean to say that. Robin's like, no, we'll use our phones. So now they're gonna do a photo shoot, like a Sports Illustrated photo shoot. It's gonna be like wacky. So they're taking photos and they're putting up like fake magazine covers on screen. And this goes on for several minutes.
The rest of the episode, pretty much. So then they all sit around and now Robin's going to try to start some shit. So she's like, Mia, did you notice when you asked about Grace at dinner? Wendy and Candace were like making faces and smirking.
And Robin trying to like push this thing. She's like, it's some fucked up shit. I mean, we're talking about our children.
Isn't it terrible when people take stuff out on the children? Like, remember when you had that family day and you refused to invite Wendy and then wanted someone else to bring her children so they could be publicly humiliated in front of the cast and all of your friends. Mm-hmm. That was super like protective mother of you, Robin. Fucking hypocrite.
Giselle's like, yes, I didn't want to continue with the conversation because I definitely saw them making faces, and by definitely saw it, Robin told me later that night. I'm talking about my daughters and you're going to scrunch up your face. Get the fuck out of here. So then Wendy walks over and is like, what are you guys talking about? And that's the cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't say this all that often, but Team Wendy.
I mean, as much as this is a team situation,
I reserve the right to make a stank face whenever I fucking want to. How about that?
I have a right to actually be bored when people are talking about their kids, because it happens really almost every single time. I hate to break it to you all. Every single fun fact I have to tell you, I smile. I'm like, that's amazing. But on the inside, I'm like, it has no impact on me.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Let's move on to some Below Deck, shall we?
Yeah, so Below Deck, we'll just sort of talk about the highlights of the episode. Basically, where we had left off, we have these three couples that are on the boat, and two of them are getting their wedding vows renewed, and one of them is getting married for the first time. And Frasier has just gone up to Captain Carey because he's had it with Barbie. And he's like, I absolutely cannot work with this stupid little wench. Her attitude is absolutely vile and awful. I don't know if she can even stay on this boat.
Yeah, this was a miscalculation on his part. This was extremely petty to go to the captain for this. I think he blew it on this big time. And the captain, also they're playing Succession music, which I think is really funny. This fucking show. I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, so then the captain's like, well, so listen, you can't just say bang, bang, they're gone, mate. All right. Well, I mean, where's the adventure in that? All right, you've got to say bang, bang, then hide, then chase, then hide again, then chase, then say if you ever try to come in this tent again against my will. So he's like, basically, work it out.
Is she good at service? He's like, is she good at service? Yes. Can she clean things? Yes. Does she put away her dishes after she's done eating? Yes. All right, so you got the raw tools there. It'll work out.
Does she enjoy adventure? She does, Captain. All right, then get the fuck out of here and stop your bitching.
Damn it. Damn her love of adventure. Getting her out of things again.
So that was kind of a fail, and Frasier looked like kind of a dummy for that one. So then Barbie is just going off to anyone who will listen. She's like, my team hates me. What am I supposed to do? Like, my whole team fucking hates me? Like, what am I supposed to do? I grew up with a father that literally applauded me 24/7, okay? So what am I supposed to do? Just not think I'm the shit, you know? Yeah. That's why I always tell parents, stop being such good parents. You know, you turn your children into delusional little monsters. Just stop.
Yeah, I like that Barbie does not have a moment of introspection of like, you know, I grew up with like, my dad said everything I did was great, and maybe I'm realizing that like, I actually, you know, I have to like work harder because not everyone's gonna be like my dad. She's like, my dad says everything I did is great, so why would I be around people who think I'm not great? Doesn't make sense. Why am I even here?
Well, especially when your dad gave you everything and you brag about being kind of, you know, the spoiled rich girl, but he couldn't get you a job at Coca-Cola.
Yeah, wow. Just saying,
you know, it might be time to start questioning your father. Okay. Yeah. So what else is happening? Jared has an interesting episode. So Jared does this thing where he is, first of all, Barbie likes him inexplicably. I'm not really sure what's going on there. Because nothing Jared has said is attractive.
Nothing.
Jared's like, well, I think 10 meters is 90 miles. And I have a kid that I've never seen. I don't want to be a deadbeat dad, but it looks like it's kind of going that way. And I don't really know how to tie my shoes, much less drop an anchor properly. So she's like, that's hot. I'm going to marry him.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere because Ben basically, you know, because Ben's such a gossip. He goes up. He's like, so who do you like? And she's like, Jared. He's like, what? She's like, yeah, I know what? I like people for their souls. You know, all my ex-boyfriends, this is going to sound mean. They're all ugly. Because I like people's souls. Like, or you probably have daddy issues, let's be honest. But so she likes Jared's soul, which still doesn't answer the question of, but why? What have you seen? Have we seen Jared's soul?
But what about his soul? You know, I think a lot of people fall into that trap where they're like, just because someone's ugly, they're a better person. You know, like we've all had that friend or maybe been that person who's like, you know, I'm sick of being treated like crap. I'm going to give an ugly guy a chance, you know? And the ugly guy's more fucked up than the hot guy because he's got all these other insecurities he's dealing with for always being ugly. And if he's hot enough to get you, he thinks, well, who else am I hot enough to get? And then they'll start fucking half the town because you've given them the confidence, you know? So you got to be careful out there.
So then Ben goes, of course, and gossips back to Kyle, the Scottish guy. And he's like, yeah, I just went straight to the horse's mouth, except he says it strangely. He's like, so I went to a horse and I asked the horse what the horse thought about you. And so he basically tells Kyle, yeah, she's into Jared. And they're both like, what? Because like, oh, I'm not going to give up just yet. So he's still going to pursue Barbie really hard because it's like a challenge for him.
Yeah. Okay, so then Barbie calls her mom to bitch. And she's like, Fraser has no respect for me, mom. Like, I mean, my boss is making me look like an asshole. He just attacks me and attacks me and attacks me and attacks me and attacks me. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know the mom hears this every time Barbie comes home from a fucking Starbucks. Just like, Barbie, don't stab him. Don't threaten him with lawsuits, Barbie. Don't key his car, Barbie.
She's like, just stick it out. You could do it. Stick it out. She like hangs up. She's like, we got a problem. I think Barbie's coming home. Oh, come on. It wasn't even a week. God, it was so tranquil here.
And then the love of her life, Jared, passes by and he's carrying two tables for the picnic and he's carrying them upside down by the base and then bangs the two metal bases together. And he's like, whoa, wow, dong.
That was loud.
That was crazy.
Wow. That was loud and crazy. So there's the ceremony, and this is Captain Carey's favorite thing because he gets to be the funny, the funny officiant. He's like, all right, everyone. All right, do you take your wives? Take these ladies to be your wives? Now kiss whichever wife you want. It's Australian wedding now.
Sunny's still really mad at Ben because Ben said that she was out there without her life jacket on the radio in front of the captain. So she's still pissed off at him, and he's like, you know, I'm really mad that you did that. I don't like that you called me out in front of the captain. He's like, well, that was when a radio, you know, like something comes on like that, and basically it's bad that he didn't tell you that. So I was basically tattletelling on him for not tattletelling on you, which makes him a bad boss and has nothing to do with you. No, you're just a piece of shit. And I'm glad that she called you out. And I'm glad that she followed it out with, okay, well, maybe that's why I had an attitude. This guy's a dick and an asshole. Thank God they're so close to each other.
Yeah. And she says, so if I was like a little cold or whatever, that's why. He goes, yeah, you had like a fucking attitude. I was like, excuse you, sir. You're supposed to say, yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to accidentally throw you under the bus. Not to be like, yeah, you were a fucking bitch. What a dick this guy is.
Yeah. So then, let's see here. These classy guests, they're just like, yeah, we're going to get married. They're all just like kind of gross and trashy. One couple is just making a joke about everything. They don't even want to. I think they were just like, hey guys, sometimes we have couples like get married on the show. They're like, all right, we'll do it if you want us to.
Yeah.
He wears his nicest Guy Fieri glasses
Truly.
To the waterfall.
Yeah, they really dressed up.
And it's really one of the sloppiest, grossest weddings I've seen in a long time. And I've been to a lot of sloppy weddings.
It was barely even a rehearsal. But it was somehow not only a real wedding, but actually, what's her face from Canada? What's her name? Sunny. She was actually crying. I was like, you're crying at this? This is what's making you emotional right now? And then somewhere in here, Anthony, the chef, tells his story about being married. And he's like, yes, well, you know, I actually was married at one point. And, you know, we were married. And my uncle said that he had the position for her as chief stew on the boat. So she went on the boat. And then I wasn't hearing for her anymore. And then, yeah, so my uncle stole my wife. And it was pretty shitty.
So his uncle is a captain. And she ghosted him to go off with the captain. How can you ghost someone after you're married? She just stopped calling her husband back ended up with the uncle.
Yeah.
That is
ghosting your crazy. Husband? That was... And he just sort of tells the story like, yeah, there was this one time I used to have this really cool bicycle, but it broke. And so I don't have it anymore, but I love that bike. My uncle
fucked it.
But it's like, no, my uncle stole my wife.
It was pretty shitty.
My uncle fucked my bike. Like, literally fucked it. So then, now it's, now Fraser is still being really petty with Barbie. And he's like, you're off of service tonight. I'm going to train Kat. She's like, okay. So at this point, he's just looking really stupid and petty, I think.
Yeah.
So she's like, I mean, this is affecting service, but whatever, right? So then he tells Kat that she's going to get to do it. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited. So the chef is going to join them tonight, which this is also just an incredibly stupid move. You're going to put Kat on her first night when the chef is going to be having dinner during service?
Or Captain Curry. So she...
Oh, who did I say?
You said the chef.
Kat.
This should be very interesting. He's like, like, aren't you supposed to be cooking? Yeah, but it's not important. So she's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. Okay, just remind me, how do the forks and knives go again? Forks on the left, knives on the right. It's okay, you could do this, you could do this. So she's messing up. You know, she's reaching across Captain Carey to pour the wine. She drops a fork. One of the guests, he has like a fork or something on his placemat for like several courses. So she's like a full disaster, unsurprisingly.
And then Jared has some Yankee Doodle flirting with Barbie. Yeah. That's really weird. I don't know how to explain it, but he says something like Yankee Doodle. She's like, what? What do you mean? He goes, you know, because he rode in on his pony. She's like, so he's ugly and weird. Okay. Still hot though. I'm still gonna get a storyline out of this.
Good soul.
He's like, yeah, she's pretty hot. I'd marry her.
So Captain Carey is not impressed with Kat. So he's like, well, she's really inexperienced. She should have been trained more. That's what I'm seeing right now. So Kat is not necessarily flourishing right now. So then, but otherwise, the dinner is like goes off really well. It all looks really good, by the way. The chef has definitely improved a lot, I think. Because he also, by the way, the chef was able to make enough food for the entire crew this time. So that's been solved.
Yes. And he also is very smart in how he handles challenges that they throw at people all the time on this show that stymie them. Like the wedding cake. Like, I have to make a wedding cake? Wedding cakes are a whole industry. That's a whole thing. You have to be trained to make a wedding cake. How am I supposed to layer cakes on top of another cake? And he's like, here's a lumpy one-tier cake with raspberries on top. There's your cake. So smart, you know? Because no one on the boat really expects a full-on wedding cake. Not, you know, at least these people didn't.
You're getting married in Tebas.
Maybe he read the Guy Fieri sunglasses and was like, okay, this will do.
We could do Duncan Hines. We could do that. That will work for this group. So the next day, everything, I think, pretty much goes pretty nicely on this charter. They're easy guests. They leave a nice tip and everything. Jared has an issue. He tries to call his daughter on his, I guess, like Nokia phone. What was that flip phone? What Ashley Simpson song was on the radio when that phone came out? I mean, that was...
Was it a satellite phone?
Was it a satellite phone? It looked like a little flip phone. And what was funny is he's trying to call his daughter in Alaska and he's saying how he's on a strict schedule with her. And if he's worried that if he can't get through, it's going to look basically like he's not paying attention and the mom is going to cut off privileges. So he's like really going through it and he's upset and he's crying. And then it just cuts to like Zandy in bed, just like texting away on her phone. I was like, well, get a better phone. Zandy's having no problem with service right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why whoever this lady is frustrated with him. Because he tries one time and he's like, oh, I guess I lost my daughter. Like, no, you have a shitty phone on purpose, sir. he's trying to make an effort with the T-Mobile Sidekick from, you know, 2012.
Get on the Wi-Fi. Do a FaceTime audio call. You can do it. Like, everyone else on this...
You're not trying hard enough.
Everyone else on this show is constantly texting. Like, half of the show is people in their rooms with text bubbles on screen. And you're like... trying to get them on your flip phone.
I think he's doing that guy thing where he's like, oh, I'm so broken up. Hey, everybody, I don't want to be a deadbeat dad. He's like trying to beat everybody to the punch of being called a deadbeat dad when they find out. But sir, if you were trying hard enough, your nipples would be hard because it would be freezing fucking cold because you'd be in Alaska on an oil rig.
Yep.
Okay, I don't want to hear it from you with your fucking sidekick.
Yeah.
You be quiet.
Exactly. That's the truth right there.
That is the truth. So he's like all agitated, which is the energy that he brings into dinner. So they all go out to dinner. And Captain Carey joins, which is surprising because usually the captain doesn't join until the end of the season. But you know, Captain Carey just wants to be part of the fun, right? So he's getting wasted and he's getting really shlammered, as they say. So he's clearly like going through it.
Jared, yeah.
Yeah, Jared. Sorry, not Captain Carey. Jared's
getting... I was like, oh my God, this show just got so good.
Oh my God.
Yes, Captain Carey.
Unseen footage, Captain Carey getting wasted.
Yeah, so it's getting awkward because he's obviously... shit face, and he gets up. He's like, I'm gonna get a shot. And he gets up and kind of kicks his chair. And they're like, oh, dude, what's wrong with him? And the captain's like, all right, I'm gonna depart. All right.
Yeah.
My last words are be good or be damn good at it. Adventure.
So Jared's getting wasted. And then meanwhile, Lucky, not I don't want to call her Lucky, Sunny and Ben are on the beach and they're still talking about that situation from earlier. And she's like, I didn't like that. I didn't like what you were saying. And he's like, come on. I'm just being cheeky. And, you know, it's Australian. I'm being cheeky. I'm being silly. I'm being charismatic. I'm like, I don't think you get to call yourself charismatic, sir. That doesn't work that way.
It's just me, the charisma machine, Ben. And Sunny, you know, Sunny's not really my favorite either, I have to say. In this... example, I'm totally team Sunny because Ben's so gross and smarmy, but Sunny definitely gives me a not like the other girls kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And then right now we learn a little bit about her, which gives me some pity for her, which makes me like her. I mean, I'm not like at full dislike. I'm just side-eyeing Sunny right now. But she's like, you know, my past relationships have been rebounds because I've been disrespected. I've been lied to. I've been humiliated. I've been intimidated. So, yeah, I have a difficult time with men. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez. So I felt kind of bad for her on this one. And then now I want her to beat up Ben.
Well, yeah. I felt bad for her, except it was clear that by the end of this conversation, like, everything was cool. And then she was, like, hugging on him again at the end. I was like, well, this is, like, well, you know, like, when people show you who they are, believe them. And that's, like, Ben just showed you who he is. Why are you hugging on him again? Move on. Move forward. Find someone else. So, whatever.
So, he's like, oh, I'm charismatic. That's me, Mr. Cheeky. She's like, oh, my God, I love you again. So, then Sunny is... wait, Barbie. Basically. Sorry. Oh, no. This is my favorite thing. That they kept showing these Xandy drinking clips. Did you get it this time?
Yes, I saw
them. Now that I pointed it out?
I saw
them. There were, like, three of them where they... The music's like... And then it stops and you just hear... And sees Andy drinking. Now, today they added in a new level, which was Jared. It stopped and Jared was drinking. I was like, okay, well, they're clearly showing us that he's an alcoholic because he, like, got drunk at night, too. But what are they showing us with Xandy? I don't get it.
I know. It's a long game. It's a marathon, not a sprint, Ronnie. Something's going to be revealed to us down the line.
I hate marathons.
I know. Me, too. They're literally the
celebrities
worst.
Calling and asking you for fucking money for... of fucking charities and
marathons
shit.
And all that stuff, all the bicycle stuff. Barbie meanwhile is watching Jared getting wasted and she's like, ugh, this is such a turnoff. I am so not into him. His soul is gross and drunk. I'm not into him anymore. So now she starts smoking with Kyle. So it looks like they're setting up that Kyle's gonna win out after all. And then meanwhile, after dinner, they're all like partying.
When guys win by being slightly less disgusting than the other option.
And just having a Scottish brogue. So
it's like choosing dinner at the dinner theater, you know? Like, which one is least likely to give me food poisoning? I will take the salmon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly. So then they're partying and what's her face? Kat goes to the bathroom and she's like trying to call her friend, but she's also having bad reception, so she can't get through to her friend. So she like emerges from the bathroom and she's like weeping. And Paige's like, what's wrong? What come over here? What's wrong? She's like, I feel like I don't have any friends and I'm just like connecting with anyone. It's just like normally I'm like best friends with everyone on the boat and I'm just like not, like people don't see my personality right now. And he's like, darling, you poor
fragile little blonde American. No, I love you. Anything you need, you fit right in. You are one of us. You are totally part of this crew. Okay, now you've gotten your pep talk. I'm going to walk away now. Bye. Just remember that while I'm away from you, just pretend that I'm actually very close to you and hanging out with you right now, but I'm actually not hanging out with you. I'm being far
she's
away.
She's like, I just hope I'm not bland. And he's like, don't really know what to say to that one. There's no getting out of that one. You know, we can't unring a bell, can we? She's like, well, but I'm just like, I'm just so insecure and like, I just don't feel like close to anyone, you know? And he's like, listen, you're beautiful. And we're like a family for like 6 weeks. Almost like a foster family, all right? I'll be there for you. Temporarily. She's like, wait a minute. All right. Glad I fixed that one. Look at me just plugging holes as I go.
I'm such a great chief student. Let me go talk to Bob and fix this up. And she's like, I just feel like you have a lot of sass. Well, you have a lot of sass too. You absolutely vile to me the other day. She goes, well, I'm not going to say yes or no, sir. Yes or no, sir. But if you don't do what I say, you're going to be going home, you stupid little slut.
Yeah, he's like, what did he say? If you think I'm shit, you can fuck off. And if you go against me, it's going to be shit. So bring it on or go home. It's like, oh my God, this is not really, Real Housewives. Stop.
You really solved yourself. That situation. You really de-escalated this. You really found a way.
I really believed him when he came back and he's like, look at me. I've got it all under control now. I'm, no.
Well, now
no,
he's pivoted the other way. So now he's being boss bitch, a little bit too boss bitchy now. So... he just has to find the right middle ground of being stern, but also inspiring. It's called being a leader.
I think he shouldn't get like so bitchy with the ladies on his team. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like when he's like, you listen to me, girl. You've got a problem with me. It's like, girl, you're not Joan Collins. You're somebody's boss on a boat.
Mm. Yeah.
Weirdo. I like it. But fun season so far, so we'll see. And, you know, like another season of Below Deck, it seems like anyone could be fired at any moment, yeah. Which I like. Keeps fun. You on your toes.
Fun. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back with more recaps later this week. We got Beverly Hills, we got Miami, and, of course, Vanderpump Rules. So go to watchcrappas.com, get your tickets to our shows, join our Patreon, do all the fun things, enrich your life, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.